The Birthplace of Country Music Museum opens in Bristol, Virginia today. It claims its name because of a recording session that happened in that city back in 1927, and it produced such future stars as Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family. Robbie Harris of member station WVTF visited Bristol and brings back this story about the new museum and the history behind it.
When you exit Interstate 81 in southwestern Virginia and arrive in the small city of Bristol, you see what it looks like to age gracefully.
So beautiful.
The Art Deco Paramount Theater on State Street has not only the good bones, but also the healthy glow it did when it was built more than 80 years ago. Back then, this small southern city was an unavoidable stop for travelers.
If you were traveling anywhere north of Bristol or south of Bristol by train, you had to stop in Bristol because the train gauge actually changed.
Reagan Streetman is spokesperson for the Birthplace of Country Music Museum.
We are on a state line, so if they had to take it off the tracks, some Virginia tracks, and switch them to Tennessee, and that took some time. So a lot of people came downtown, and if you were an artist, you would perform here.
So it made sense for a producer from Victor Records named Ralph Peer to set up a makeshift studio in a hat factory a few blocks from where the museum now stands and start auditioning talent.
My heart is sad and I'm in sorrow for the only one I love.
Jessica Turner is the museum's director and head curator.
This is where the Carter family first recorded. This is where Jimmy Rogers first recorded in 1927. However, there were recordings prior to Bristol. 1923, 1924 in Atlanta, there were recordings in New York, and so this is an industry that's really taking shape in Bristol, is just that really ripe moment where you have people really getting into the industry and technology, microphone technology and recording technology all coming together to make recordings that are very successful.
Open yonder the weeping willow, yes, under the weeping willow tree. So ye may know where I am speaking, and perhaps he will weep for me.
The museum is a former truck dealership building. You can still see its ramps in the new incarnation. What you won't see are a lot of glass cases filled with old instruments and costumes.
We're not heavy on artifacts. We want people to touch, feel, listen, and hear their experience and be inspired.
So Reagan Streetman says touch screens allow you to take apart the old songs, pull up the vocals or the guitars and study them separately, even remix them. And there are listening stations where you can hear the original 1927 Bristol recordings.
The longest train that I ever saw was on that Georgia line.
And their remakes, like Nirvana's 1994 take on the Geneva Ramblers. In this museum, even selfies are welcome.
People want to capture their experience through Instagram, through Facebook, to tweet it, to upload to YouTube. Why not let them?
That ethos captures what the music is all about, says Jeff Place.
Appalachian music, it's community-based music.
Place is a staff archivist at the Smithsonian Center for Folklife and Cultural Heritage. He worked to help the Birthplace of Country Music Museum become a Smithsonian affiliate, which means it can borrow assets and get curatorial advice, among other things, from the larger institution.
The roots of country music in the United States was really, you know, the Appalachian Mountains and that area around Bristol. I mean, there's a whole scene down there. You know, it's as vibrant as it's ever been.
Place points to the Crooked Road website, which provides a guided tour of Southwest Virginia's current traditional music scene, its players and venues. The Floyd Country Store in Floyd, Virginia, is about 100 miles northeast of Bristol.
I grew up coming to the Floyd Country Store. My dad is quite involved with the scene here.
Hannah Trainum lives in Seattle now. She just played the Floyd Country Store with her band, the Barn Owls. Her dad is fiddler and luthier, Mac Trainum. He's making a banjo for the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, and she thinks the place will be a great addition to the scene.
My music generally comes from this very specific southwestern Virginia region, so I care a lot about the musicians that were here. And so to figure out who played where and when and what did they play is a huge deal. And to find out their sources even is really great for people in our generation.
She grew up as a little kid out here on Friday nights.
Third-generation musician David Kanaday produces concerts at the Country Store and teaches that younger generation.
What was that one that you taught me, a 9-pound hammer?
Kanaday's 2:30 lesson, 14-year-old Tate Harmon, has never heard of the 1927 Bristol Sessions or the musicians who made them, but he loves to play the music.
All right, start it off.
Translating that spirit will be a challenge for the new museum, but the Smithsonian's Jeff Place is hopeful.
People make the music for themselves and with each other, and it is interesting just to see a museum that's taken all these old technologies and, you know, presenting it in more of a high-tech museum way.
In the next few months, the Birthplace of Country Music Museum will begin broadcasting and webcasting from what looks like a vintage radio studio. Only its 1946 Raytheon console has been gutted and filled with modern circuitry. For NPR News, I'm Robbie Harris in southwestern Virginia.